Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to welcome our visitors that we have with us today. We have quite a few visitors with us, some from here in town. We've got a gentleman from Michigan, wanted to point Don out to him. And I don't know whether to call you guys visitors. As often as you guys are here, Mark and Jan Lunsford are back with us today. They're from North Carolina, and they are here every time they're in town. And we'd kind of like to call you our own, but if that's okay with you guys. Nice to see Joyce with us today. Hope you're doing well. Couple of announcements. There are envelopes in the foyer for donating to the Nayumi Kids clothing program. We've done that every year, and this collections will be going on throughout November. And then this is the last week, or excuse me, next week is the last week to donate for that Magi box. There's information on the bulletin board in the foyer. Sean, if you have any questions, she's kind of heading that up. You can see her. Those go to children in an orphanage in Mexico, and if you'd like to participate in that. Terrence has requested prayers for Diamond and the children. The family has bad colds, and they're at home right now. So before we get into our lesson, let's go to God in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you. We're thankful for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. We ask that you be with Terrence and the family right now as they're battling colds. We hope that they will be strengthened and get back feeling better soon. Dear God, we're thankful for everything that you do for us. We ask that you continue to be with us as we continue our worship to you and look into your word. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. You know, when you purchase something, you buy it as is. You know, you buy a car, you buy something at a yard sale or something like that. It's you're buying it with the acknowledgement it's as it is. You know, flaws, scratches, dents, and all. In a lot of ways, that's how we were before we were saved. Jesus takes us as is. We've got a few dings, a few scratches on us. A couple of scriptures I'd like for us to look at. John 3:16-17. People are very aware of this passage. It reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
Amen.
He loved us enough, flaws and all, dings, dents, bruises, heartaches, shortcomings, to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Mark 2:17 says, "When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Jesus came for the people that needed him. Granted, there wasn't anybody in the world that didn't need him, but he didn't come for perfect people. He came for people that needed saved. He came for people that had sin in their life. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, we know the wages of sin is death. That's why Jesus came, so we can avoid that. Romans 5, Chris read a this in his passage this morning in connection to the Lord's Supper. For when we were still without strength, nothing we could do, helpless, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, I'm going to read that again, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus took us as is. But he wants us to grow and mature. He doesn't want us to stay where we were. He doesn't want us to stay in that state. There's no need to. And we can't. Romans 6, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Paul had just been talking about in 5 about the glory of God's grace. Something that we do not merit. But God had given us grace. And Paul says, starts off with a question in chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we keep sinning so God will give us more grace? Paul answers the question, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? When we were baptized, hopefully, we died to sin. We turned our back on that life. We turned our back on what we used to be. The as is. To go to something better. Romans 8:1, Paul said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ." Christ Jesus, excuse me. "Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." When we are progressing, when we are walking in that vein, there's no more condemnation for us. John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." That's a very comforting verse. That's one of those comforting verses that if we're doing that, the blood of his Son cleanses us. In 1 Peter 2:2, the Apostle Peter wrote, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Jesus does not want us to stay where we are. He took us as we were, but he doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to grow, desire that pure milk of the word, like a newborn baby. I don't know about your kids. We only had one. Bobby let us know that he wanted milk. He made it under no uncertain terms. Everybody within a 3-block radius knew that he wanted milk. Peter is using that analogy, kind of going along with class, Tracy, you know, so using an example of something, you know, figuratively. Like newborn babes, we should be wanting to just suck the word up, absorb it, digest it, so we grow by it. Acts 17:30 says, truly, these times of ignorance, God over... Ignorance is a powerful word there. These times of ignorance. There was a time when we were just flat ignorant of God's word. These times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. John 5:14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. Jesus had just healed a lame, paralyzed man, had been in that condition for 38 years. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. He doesn't want us to continue in sin. Just because he gave his life and gave us his grace, he doesn't want us to keep wallowing in sin. Sin no more. And a verse that we used last week when we were looking at the woman that had been brought to Jesus that had been caught in adultery in John 8:11. She answered Jesus. He had asked her a question. Where are the accusers? Where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. We spent quite a bit of time last week talking. Jesus never condoned her sin. He never said what you did was acceptable. He tells her, go and sin no more. I'm taking you as is. Don't stay like that. You go and sin no more. In Hebrews 5, it starts in verse 12, says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. You're not growing. In fact, you're going backwards. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are a full age. That is, those who by reason of use of their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Those of you that have grown, those of you that have matured, are a full age, that have exercised your senses, you can handle the meat. Others haven't grown. They still need the milk. We're to grow. Question is, what if we don't grow? I've heard Christians profess, I've been a Christian 40 years. Quote, I've been a Christian 40 years. Have they matured 40 years as a Christian? Or are they a one-year Christian 40 different times? What if we don't grow? We put our Lord on in baptism, become a Christian, but we just don't grow as we're expected to. What if we don't want to? What if we don't want to grow? That's uncomfortable. It requires things of me. What if we don't even try? Luke 13:3, Jesus says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. I don't see any wiggle room here. Well, Jesus really didn't mean that. He was talking about something else. And then If you have your Bible open, he repeats it again two verses later in verse 5. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willingly after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. That's scary. That's a scary one. That if we, after we have been saved, if we continue in that sin that grace may abound, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. That grace is kind of just pulled right out from under us. First Peter 1, and this is that passage that Tracy read during her scripture reading. This says it all. This is the whole lesson in these 11 verses. I'd like to read it again. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. He's setting his credentials here. It's not my opinion. I'm Joe Blow on the street. This is I think, I feel, and my opinion. This is an apostle and bondservant of Jesus Christ. That's who's getting ready to say this. Inspired by God. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've gotten away from it. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those 11 verses sum it all up. Jesus loves us dearly. God loved us so much He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus loves us and takes us, has taken us as is. Some of us might have been a little bit more dinged than others, but He demands and He wants us to grow and mature. That's our lesson. Take it with you this week. Maybe look over some of those verses in your Bible studies this week. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, through baptism, through repentance, please do so while we now stand and sing. Let's stand and sing the invitation.